ain't nothing new to me. You could bring a bullet, bring a sword, bring a morgue, but you can't bring the truth.
Okay, I'm fresh off another Disney experience. This one was a little bit interesting for a few reasons, nothing crazy, but it was good overall. Obviously, whenever you're in Disney, I mean, come on, man. Whenever you're at Disney, it's a good fucking time. Not for me, because Disney was never meant for guys in the first place. If you look at the whole scheme of Disney, it's mostly princesses. It's mostly about happily ever afters and shit like that. Now, if you were to inject an Avengers park in there, or Star Wars, or something else that Disney owns that you know boys are all over it, I'm all in. But it's not like the boys want to go see Belle or her castle. You know what I'm saying? So, but I think one of the things I always hear with me parenting, everyone always gives me kudos on being a good dad and doing these things, right? And I don't think that defines me as a person. I think being a dad is something that I want to be for my little one. But I don't feel that because I'm a good dad to her that's how I define myself. That's not the case. And I think, and I'm saying that because women do that. Women are nonstop talking about how they are as a parent, but if you take them outside that role, they don't know who they are. So I'm very aware of that. That it's part of who I am. It's one of my responsibilities. And I do it, and it's fun, and it's great, and I love it, but it's not what defines me. And I think people marvel at that, but I guess I look at parenting from a very simple perspective. I look at it from, number one, you got to be selfless, right? You got to be selfless and understanding about knowing that you have a responsibility, that you have a kid, and that kid relies on you. That kid is your offspring, and you ought to want to do things for your offspring, right? As crazy as it sounds. And number two, I look at it from, if I was seven years old, this is probably how I would like to have been treated as a kid. And I would say that I had a lot of traumatic experiences, but I have a few experiences that were good. I remember one time in Christmas when I was 9 or 10, I remember my family telling me, hey, there was no Christmas here. And I remember my grandmother came in with a big garbage bag and surprised everyone. Like it was, you know, Santa Claus's bag, but it was a hefty Ziploc bag. And she had some G.I. Joes for me. That was exciting because I wasn't expecting anything. Little did I know that was going to be the last time I ever got a fucking surprise for my birthday. But yeah, so I look at life in the perspective of trying to, if I was a kid, how would I have liked to have been treated? If I was to look back, I would understand if I got an ass whooping. And I do understand if I got an ass whooping, right? And I understand if things were done for me nicely or not, whatever it is. So I try to look at it. If you're a selfish person and if you're a person that is beyond stubborn and you want to do things your way or the highway, then yeah, you're not going to be a good dad. You're not going to be a good mom because you're not meant to provide for somebody else. If you're so worried about yourself and your agenda and your feelings and everything, don't get me wrong, you have to be in a good place. But if it's at a point where you're overlooking compromising yourself a bit for the happiness of your child, then you shouldn't be parenting. But you should know that beforehand, right? Well, whatever. That's another rant for another day. Anyway, but I went ahead and did that and booked one of the main reasons why I'm enjoying this phase, and I know that this is the part that I've been looking forward to with my child, is because we're able to travel. One of the things that I feel was very important in my journey as a person and growing was being exposed to different walks of life at an earlier age, especially from somebody from my background. It's like many of us that grew up poor, dirt poor in the ghetto and not around good, positive role models, we don't get to be around people unless we have a wicked jump shot or we have a talent, so on and so forth. Unless you have a talent that can be used outside that world, then you're not going to be exposed to it, right? So I enjoy the element that right now my daughter, even though it's just Disney, she's getting acclimated to traveling, getting up early, going out there and getting in the, you know, in the car and traveling and being bored and all that stuff. And I think that's really good. I'm really excited about that because as she gets older, I'm building her tolerance right now. And Disney is my mastermind plan of, okay, we're slowly getting her into traveling, slowly getting her into having those moments where she's just sitting there looking outside, looking at cows, looking at pastures as we drive by, doing nothing. And that just drives her up the wall. But I know this is for a good cause because later on when she grows, she travels, she sees things, able to compare and contrast and be a better person from that. So, but I love the fact that when it comes to traveling, I have full autonomy. That's one of the things I would say that is awesome about not being in a relationship. And I hate to say that way, but I mean, man, having full control of the logistics, the plans, everything you do and don't do. I don't have to cater to anybody. And no offense to my ex or anybody else that I've been with or that I've been on a date or anything. If every time someone says, no, no, I'm like that. I'm easygoing. I'm chill and all that. And then when you go in the moment and you hang out, they start bitching. They start complaining. They start having something happening. Never fails. It never fucking fails because your version of doing things is totally different than another person. And I'm telling you that because there hasn't been one person that I've been around that has totally gone with the flow. It's very rare that you get somebody that you're on the same page with when it comes to traveling. It really is. So I love the element of, okay, I could pick the hotel. I don't have to worry about somebody bitching about the hotel. Right, because I usually go with 3.5 stars. I don't go. I'm not gonna be there. I'm not gonna be at that hotel, okay? Unless I'm at a beach resort or I'm in Vegas where the hotels are the entertainment, I'm not fucking worried about the hotel. I'm just gonna go there to sleep, lay my head, you know, lay there. As long as there's no shootouts happening outside, I'm good. As long as it's in a good location, I'm good. 3 stars, okay? People come. I don't care. I'm there for, you know, 6-7 hours, 8 hours tops, just to sleep, and I'm out. So controlling everything that happens in that trip is something that's very important to me because I'm very efficient. And with my daughter, what I try to do is I try to give her deals. I try to negotiate with her. And I'll say, okay, if we get up early, we could do these things. If we don't, then we're not going to do them. So I try to instill in her the value of getting up early during trips because you're able to beat 80% of the crowd. Everyone, when they're on vacation mode. They want to sleep in. They want to do this and that. I look at it as I want to get up and do shit so that later on, when everyone's there, when it's 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and it's fucking crowded and it's annoying and it's hot, you're back in your hotel room sleeping because you already went in there for 4 or 5 hours and you knock shit out before lunch. And you got most of the things back. And then now when you come in the afternoon, you're able to go do things. But that's the way I look at it, right, when you're looking at traveling. Because I say to myself, okay, most people that travel, they travel with a companion. They're in relationships or whatever, right? It's very rare that you have somebody that's single going out and doing things. So I guess for me, when I look at people that always sleep in, I say to myself, well, it's not like you guys are out partying. You're not trying to go hit the club and bring back some action. So why can't you just make the effort to get up early? Go to sleep, you know, maybe a little bit earlier than you typically do for the sake of you getting up early and beating the crowd and beating the hubbub and doing all these things that are fun that you're not having to deal with other people. That's the one thing that I always laugh at when I always talk to people that are not crowd people, that don't like, they're maybe antisocial. But yet, they don't want to get up early and do that. I would think, hey, if I'm antisocial, I want to go to a time where nobody's there. And but again, that's just, you know, I'm going on nonstop rants here about my experience. But yeah, so one of the things I did with my daughter was, hey, if you want to get up early, we can go to the kingdom for 2 days, right? We can go to the big castle, but you got to get up early. And of course, she didn't get up early. So, okay, we got to go. And she looks at me like, Dad, I want to go. And I'm like, I hear you, but I gave you the deal. If you get up early, we go. If you don't, we don't. I try to give her, I think even though I have full autonomy on the trip, I try to give my child options to negotiate, to say, okay, if you do these things, we can go ahead and do it. And throughout the day, when we were at Disney, she did that. She was like, well, okay, I'll do this, but we got to, you know, and we're negotiating. And that's really good because I want her to feel comfortable with that aspect of knowing that the pen is sharper than the sword or the hammer, as they say. What's that fucking saying anyway? I don't even know. But yeah, so we did that throughout the day. But the start, before the trip got started, I got a new phone. I was having problems with my old phone. And travel tip, do not get a new phone the day before you travel, and do not try to update the phone the day before you travel or the night before you travel, because God forbid something happens, you're fucked. And that's what happened with me. I'm on the road and I'm trying to get my GPS and I'm trying to get the Wi-Fi going, because I'm able to share my data plan with my daughter's iPod Touch. So I wanted her to see movies and do all this shit. And nope, can't do it. Why? Well, for some reason, my phone is not working. And I can't call customer service because it's not working. I have no access to anything. I'm like, all right. I have no GPS ETA. I have nothing. No radio, no Spotify, nothing. I'm like, all right. And I'm having my munchkin in the background. And you know, when you got ants in your pants, you know, that kid, within 20 minutes, forget about it, man. She was just rolling. Her hair was all fucked up. I mean, she just can't. She can't handle herself. She just can't sit there and be quiet or just sit there and chill, man. She's just hyperactive, man. And so that was the start to the trip. And I was getting angry, too, on the way there. I was starting to get angry because I'm saying to myself, of all things, this freaking phone has been giving me issues. The reason why I got another one. But then I realized, you know what? This is first world problems. At the end, I'm going to Disney. I look at my little one back there. She, even though she's being fucking jumping around like you just gave her some Adderall, she is doing well. And she's going to have a good time. And I said, you know what? Put this phone down. Shit's not going to happen. I'm going to be fine. So that's the mode. When I turned into that mode, it was good. I was like, all right, good. That was halfway on the road trip up there. And we got there late because my daughter slept in, right? So obviously we were there with a crowd. But I figured out a way. I figured out a fucking way to cheat through a lot of these lines and cutting. I'm not going to give away that secret. That's going to be my secret. Disney's going to figure it out later. And anybody that knows me from fantasy football and plays with me would tell you that I'm very Belichickish. What does that mean, Mano? What does that mean, Belichickish? Well, that means that I try to cut corners as much as possible. If I can find a way to cut a corner, I'm going to do it. It's not cheating. It's more of, okay, there's a loophole here. Hey, isn't that what rich people do anyway? That's what people do when they have money. They just find a little loophole. They attack it. And they maximize it, right? And then they'll get something out of it until the powers that be decide, okay, you can't do this anymore. And that's what I did with the Disney Pass. I figured out a little thing where I can go ahead and keep getting by and getting by and getting by. And I was able to cut line in a lot of the places. Obviously, I couldn't do it for the top ride. But I could have, but I needed more battery on my phone. Because even though my phone did not work, anytime there was Wi-Fi, I was able to get on. I was like, great. So at least I had that. And we were able to knock down, I want to say 11 rides. Once I found out what I can do, and my little one was awesome because she just set the pace. After we finished a ride, we'll sit down. And she'd do something simple as playing with vegetables. And not vegetables. Those it's sawgrass. I don't even know what it's called. But anyway, she'd start playing around with the landscaping. She'd jump around. You know, she'd just stay in her place, sit down, look at a statue, just sit there and daze away. That's her thing. She just wants to stare off into space and think about stuff and just sit there and do nothing. And I'm like, hey, no problem. So I figured out a way to cut lines, you know, via fast pass, but I found a way of getting through it. And I'm laughing because when I see the people cutting line, I see all these people waiting, and you see outside it's a 85 minute wait or it's a 40 minute wait, and I'm like, ha ha. I'm so excited. I'm like, ha ha, gotcha, motherfuckers. You guys are waiting all day. And listen, I understand you came from all over the world. You came 12 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, whatever it is. But you're not going to catch me. I saw this one. I took pictures of. One ride had a 120-minute wait. You think I'm going to wait 2 hours for a 2-minute ride? Huh? You think I'm there to sit around and watch this same person go through this different fucking maze and look at them 20 fucking times throughout that whole waiting period? No. you know, or you just see that annoying kid, because you know how it is. It's like a plane ride. You're stuck with the wrong people in your aisle. Forget about it. You're fucking stuck. And then in that case, you're stuck for 2 hours. No fucking way. My daughter at least gets that. She's like, no fucking way, Dad. Because she get, you know, her threshold of waiting, I would say it's around 20, 25 minutes. After that, she's getting on the floor. She's rolling over. She's trying to have you carry her. She's hugging up on you. It's real funny shit. Like, it's her attention span and ability to just be still. It's not there at all. But I figured out a way because of those moments where she chills. So we did that. So we were able to knock a lot of things out. And one of the things I told her is that, look, we got to, every time we go to a theme park like this, we have to try something new at least once. I know you don't like the boy stuff. I know you don't like certain things, but you got to try. And sure enough, she did. And this one was, It's a Small World. She was like, okay, I don't remember this one, Dad, but yeah, I like it now. All right, cool. We're doing it. We're getting in it, you know, repetitive. And then we're cutting line at the same time. I'm like, wow, you know, Minnow, you're pretty smart. That lady was looking at me like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, because they have people up in the front, you know, when you put your card to cut line. And sure enough, everything's getting green. And she's looking at me like, okay, this guy's doing something. Yeah, and I'm not telling you, biatch. My secret, until they figure it out, until Disney figures it out, I'm not going to tell you. Fuck that. But yeah, we knocked a lot of rides out. And that was really good to know. But yeah, it was during my trip. You know, one of the things you do as a dad is you were there with your daughter. What you got to do? You got to do bathroom breaks, right? And now as I got older, I mean, I got to do way more bathroom breaks as far as me versus her. But when we got to do it, when she got to do it. And I have a routine where I'm able to go fast. And one of the things I tell my daughter is like, look, you stay right here close, right? And you know the routine. If someone grabs you or something like that, you yell. You yell so everyone knows that this guy is a fucking stranger. Now, the likelihood of that happening in Disney is next to nil. I mean, the fact that if they're able to run out of there with my daughter all the way to the parking lot, getting through security with my daughter, goddamn, dude. You should be a fucking... You shouldn't be stealing kids from Disney. You see what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's kind of the thing that I have going. And I had this lady trying to... She was worried about him. I'm like, no, we're good, lady. Like, we're good. Like, she's good. Like, we have a code. We have a routine. God bless her. You know, but I think, again, it comes back to the women are not used to the men, you know, running the show or being on top of things and doing the things that I do. And I get it. It's not something that I get offended with, but you always have that person that tries to, that motherly instinct kicks in. And they just look at the guy maybe as a dumbass, or it's just, I don't know, but it's good. It's positive. But I'm no, lady, I got this. I've been in this rodeo with my little one already. I mean, I've been doing this show since she was three, okay? So I was the dad carrying diapers and all that shit because my daughter didn't want to do anything to do with a potty as far as her doing it on her own until she was probably five and a half, almost six. I mean, she was really bad about that stuff. Like, she always had a fear. Overall, my daughter's just a very fearful person, always worries about stuff. High anxiety driven. So, and it included potty. But anyway, yeah, sorry, Jazz. I'm putting your stuff out there. But I would say that it was a good time overall. We had a blast. And what else is new? You know, when you go into Disney, you're running into the Asians, you're running into the Indians. And those Indians, man, they're, you know, it's going to sound bad, and I'm going to do a different podcast about this because I've been ranting for a while here. I'm going to do a podcast and look into the Indians and racism because you can tell they have a level of elitism. I have not ever in my visits there had an Indian that's been very kind, very generous, has been, excuse me, thank you. You could feel a level of entitlement from them. You could feel as if they're not acknowledging you. They're going through that way. And if you're there, fuck you. I'm not even looking at you. And if you're in my way, you better get out. And one time I bumped into a guy. I just stayed straight line walking through. Boom. But what is he going to do? He's 5'7", scrawny, with a beer gut, whatever you want to call it. He's not going to do anything. He just kept his head down and kept walking. I'm like, yeah, that's right. You're not going to say anything to me. It's not like I'm looking for action. But you got to stand up to them because they're assholes and they're prevalent out there. I would say, man, they're even nicer. And you know how people always have a fear about ghetto black people and anybody from the ghetto Spanish people. Like, Indians are worse. Indians are definitely the worst ones. Because at least with the hood folks, with the hood Spanish folks, right, people from the ghetto, you have one that says, excuse me, or, you know, pardon me, but they'll say, excuse me, thank you. You know, like, they'll try to say it, but in a way where, you know, I don't need you, but thanks a lot. Like, the Indians don't say shit. The Indians will cut you. The Indians will sit down on your spot. And I had my daughter was sitting down, and there was this older couple waiting for their daughter, I guess, and their child, and they're trying to squeeze my daughter out. I'm like, no, no. And I said it real loud. No, Jazz, you stay there. You deserve to sit there because you were there waiting. And I'm looking at him, giving him the death stare. Like, I wish you would, dude. I wish you would say something. And then they just put their head down. I'm like, okay, we're not going to say nothing here. Like, yep. Like, you're not going to try to bully me. It's like, you may feel entitled. I hear you. But we're all in this together here. So if you got that much money, go rent out the park on your own. Get the Indians, get them together, rent out Disney for a day, whatever how much that is, right? If you guys have so much money, because that's what somebody like Bill Gates would do, right? I mean, somebody like Shaq would do that. You know, somebody that has major money like that, if you're talking $300 million money, you could shut down a park for a day if you wanted to. I'd be like, look, I'll give you $5 million for my daughter. Right, or just give me a half day. Whatever you guys make, I'll make, you know. And that's where I have a problem with those guys. So I'm going to look into this. I'm going to find out what their whole shtick is, because they're very funny. But overall, look, I had a good time, and I'm glad I'm able to do these things. It's been, what, 6 trips with my little one to Disney. And, you know, she's sitting there complaining about, Dad, can you get me a bubble maker, Dad? Can you get me this lightsaber thing? And she's sitting there and pouting and complaining. And I'm saying, look, you know what, Jazz? You're not even 8 years old. And you've been to the Magic Kingdom so many times. You know, you probably know kids your age that haven't even been there. And probably would never go there, to be honest with you. Maybe one time in the teens. But you're going to be around so many kids that do these things as often as you will. And here you are acting like a little rug rat, because I'm not buying you toys. No, I'm buying you a ticket to Disney. You kidding me? You hear all the time. I'm not telling her I have season passes. No way. Imagine if I told her season passes. No. I'd be like, oh, well, maybe we'll be here next time. Maybe next time. And then she'd sit there. And, you know, my little one would be like just pounding away. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad. Come on. Why not? And then she's trying to work me like ultimate saleswoman. It's great. I like it because I have the patience for it. I think that's one thing I would say about me. I'm built for that because I have a lot of patience. And one thing is with my daughter is that when she pushes my patience and she knows it because I let it be known, then she calms down for a good couple hours. So I don't go there if I have to go there. But when I do, that neutralizes her for a bit because sometimes, you know how it is. Kids are habitual line steppers. They're going to go keep continuing on and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, dude, you got to calm down. But, you know, I have a good attitude about her. I'm able to walk around with her and do these things because, again, I mean, when you're looking at a theme park like that, it's like a Vegas hotel. You're fucking walking all day and you better get used to it. So, but overall, great time. Came back from that with a lot of things to reflect on. Super ranting, wow, what the fuck, man. My roof look like an no-show. Got diamonds by the polo. Don't act like you my friend when I'm rolling through my hands. Oh, you stuck in the friend zone. I tell that 4, 5, 5th. Ayy, 100 bins inside my shorts, a chino, the shit.